you know, I'm not trying to build a huge forms plugin and keep that maintained and, you know, have a little collection of add-ons around it. So, you know, add-ons on my business. That's what I do.
This episode of The Matt Report is brought to you by Pagely. Pagely, where we help big brands scale WordPress, its enterprise WordPress hosting in the Amazon cloud. If you're building big, powerful WordPress websites for your clients, you need big, powerful hosting, and Pagely delivers. I use Pagely for my websites and e-commerce shops, so I trust their service, and I have no issues recommending them to you. Look, I only bring on sponsors that I trust. And who else trusts Pagely? Verizon, eBay, Disney, Twitter, and more. You can see that right on the homepage of their website. Pagely is the OG of WordPress managed hosting, and they're innovating the market every single day. If your clients trust you to write scalable code, then trust Pagely to host it for you. Check out Pagely.com. Episode number 8, season 4 of The Matt Report with Naomi Bush from GravityPlus.pro. That's the website, GravityPlus.pro. And she puts out Gravity Forms add-ons and has built herself a great little business. I don't, maybe not even little. It's probably bigger than most of us can expect from the outside. And I love the simplicity. I love the approach of simplicity that she takes in her business. And it's quite a lesson that I hope you can gain from this episode. You know, what it's like to not want to build this empire of plugins, but to look at large platform-like plugins like Gravity Forms and build add-ons for that ecosystem. It really sort of brings in a client that is more conditioned to paying for a plugin, you know, specifically in the Gravity Form space, paying for that plugin and expecting to pay for an add-on. Now, she has a bunch of free add-ons that are also in the repo that you can get access to, but have pro versions. And I think it's a smart move, and one that isn't always about world domination, which I really, really love. And the way she built her community is a testament to or for all of us to build a better community for support, for marketing, for awareness, and actually for research and development, getting in touch with people who actually use your product and then redistributing that knowledge into the code, into the feature set, in the marketing. So definitely a great episode with Naomi. I was super happy to finally sit down and talk to her. If you like episodes like this, it's mattreport.com/subscribe, join the mailing list. And if you have a 5-star review, I'd sure love it on iTunes. And thank our sponsors, Pagely and Valet. Let's get into the show. Hey, Naomi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I've been keeping my eye on you for quite some time. We were talking pre-show that we crossed paths at Pressnomics, which is a phenomenal event out in Arizona. Every year or so, we're business owners, WordPress business owners, like-minded WordPress business owners come together and share their experiences on how they built a business, good and bad, the nitty-gritty of it all. And I'm really excited to have you talk about that kind of thing today on the Matt Report. But for folks who don't know who you are, give us that elevator pitch of who you are and what you do.
All right. Well, I'm Naomi, as you said, and I like to call myself the head Gravity Forms Wrangler over at GravityPlus.pro, and basically that just means that I build Gravity Form solutions. So,
and how long have you been doing that?
I believe it's been 5 years now.
Wow, that's a long time. Why haven't you rolled your own form plugin by now?
No desire at all.
Nice. Is your background in like custom development and programming, or do you hail from a whole different realm?
Well, let's see. I am, as they say, classically trained in computer engineering, but I always built websites for people, and so that's how WordPress came into play. And then I decided, well, hey, you know, I want to get into development, and so that is what I started doing.
One of the sort of phenomenons or sort of trends right now, especially in the page builder world. So if I were to look at something like a Beaver Builder or even a Divi, I see a lot of folks starting to create their own little add-ons for those almost like platform plugins now, right? They're almost like platform plugins where people can, third parties are more, it's more accessible to build these little features. It's almost like building a plugin for WordPress, but they're trying to tap into this sort of, let's say, Beaver Builder audience or niche audience. You are somebody who saw that curve 5 years ago, which is amazing. Why did you get into doing that? What spurred you to start building add-ons for Gravity Forms?
Well, I would say it started out of necessity. At the time, I was doing a membership site for a local organization, and we were using PayPal. But, you know, I had heard about Stripe, you know, this up-and-coming payments platform, and yeah, I kept my eye on it. And when we were doing the redesign for the organization, I said, you know what, Stripe would probably be a good idea because we had an older customer base. And as you know, with PayPal, you get redirected to another site, and, you know, then you kind of hope the redirect works okay and that people make it back to the site and that, you know, everything is everything works properly. And so I said, well, we can use Stripe for this. And so I posted on the Gravity Forms forums at the time saying, hey, you know, have you guys heard of this? You know, you should build an integration. And they said, yeah, you know, we'll get to it maybe sometime. Well, I couldn't wait for maybe sometime. And so I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to build it myself. And that's how it all started.
Carl. For folks who don't know, Carl is the one of the co-founders of Gravity Forms. Very opinionated gentleman, good guy, but certainly will like to analyze everything along the way. So 5 years ago, I can only imagine when you said you should add a Stripe add-on. Did you immediately start charging for that plugin? Did you give it away for free? Give us that sort of viewpoint.
So, you know, I had been around WordPress for a long time and, you know, just kind of seen, as they say, as the WordPress world turns, you know, products popping up and going away. And so I said, well, hey, you know, I want to do plugins, but I want to do it the right way because I saw people just get murdered and I call it murdered. They weren't murdered, but just get slammed, you know, in the WordPress forums and the attitudes and everything else. And so I knew that I wanted to put some plugins out there. So I said, hey, you know, I've done this plugin. I'll just put it out there for fun. I fully expected no one to use it at all, but I said it'll be a good experience, you know, learning how to post to the WordPress plugin repository. And so I just put it there and I put a post in the forum saying, hey, I built this, you know, it works for me, you know, that whole works for me kind of thing. You can use it if you want. And lo and behold, people used it. And actually, let's see, the first person, I'm trying to remember his name was Adam. I can't remember his full name, but he was one of the first people to use it, and he donated and posted on the Gravity Forms forums and said, hey, you know, everyone else, you know, donate. And people started donating. And people kept donating. And, you know, to this day, 5 years later, people are still donating.
Donating and purchasing, I'd imagine, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When did you, so was it at that point that you said, you know what, I think it's time to build a business of this? And boy, I'm thinking back, you know, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, I don't know if, you know, the concept that was there, like EDD and software licensing and checkout, but you were probably using Gravity Forms to check out, I'd imagine, in your own plugin. Is that how you sort of structured the technology behind the business to get people to buy from you and create a transaction?
Yep. I was just using Gravity Forms and the Stripe plugin to create payment forms. And I'm still using that. And behind the scenes, you know, Gravity Forms is very powerful. So the plugin gets automatically delivered to people.
That's great. And just looking at the site, Gravity Plus Pro, I'm on it right now. There's this simplicity of just provide, like, and I don't, I'm trying to say this in a way, but I appreciate it, right? Because I feel like so many people go over the top with their, with their marketing sites, myself included, like, you know, hand in the air, I'm as guilty as anybody. And it causes like this, you know, this just spinning the wheels where it's okay, I'm going to tweak this color, I'm going to move this over here, I'm going to change the padding a little bit over here. It's like, that doesn't matter, right? Let's get the the product in front of the customer, as long as they understand what it's doing, they'll click the link and discover more, which when you do, you sort of go into these little, what I'll call like little sub sales sites, right? These little sales product pages, especially Gravity Forms Stripe add-on, has a nice landing page with a testimonial. Is that a strategy that sort of worked for you? Is that something that you've done purposefully, or is it just, hey, you know, there's not enough time to do that. I'm building software. I'm selling stuff. And this is working for me.
I would say it has worked for me, and that's why it still looks like that. I didn't intend for it to be that way. It was a way just to put something up. But over time, I'm like, wow, this is working. And so I've kind of stayed with it, although my plan was to build something, you know, nice and flashy and everything else. But yeah, this... it works.
Right. And I mean, I think it's, look, it's funny. I recently, at the time of this recording, I just sent out an email to my newsletter, just a quick note. A friend of mine, James Dahlman, recently wrote about how he sort of, you know, taking a step back from the WordPress community, to put it in lighter terms than he did, and just sort of, you know, look, I'm done sort of dealing with keeping up with, you know, the trend or keeping up with this person. And at the end of my note, anyway, I said that, look, it's, you build site, you know, for most people, you build sites the way you want to build sites. And so many of us are at least like that 1% of WordPress. There's so many people saying, oh, you're doing it wrong, or you should be using this plugin, or you shouldn't be using Gravity Forms to check out. You should be using EDD. And no, you shouldn't use EDD. You should use WooCommerce. You should use Infusionsoft. God help us. you know, and there's just so much of so much pressures from when you're trying to build it with air quotes in there the right way. You know, that sometimes forgetting all that and doing it your way, and it works. And that's the way it's done. And I appreciate that approach. What do you see as sort of the biggest challenge in terms of building all these add-ons for Gravity Forms and you sort of not being in control of Gravity Forms? I mean, let alone we're not in control, again, air quotes, of WordPress and in the direction that they might go in. Sure, we might have a small hand in it, but the greater team will do what they will with the technology, and we have to keep up. It's just the nature of the game. But how do you keep up with Gravity Forms? Do you have an open dialogue? Is there a particular challenge in keeping up with the code changes and whatnot?
I would say keeping up with the code changes, no, that's not so difficult. I would say the biggest challenge is, you know, what anyone finds is, you know, staking your business to someone else's is always very risky. It's not recommended. Like you said, everyone will tell you that you're doing it wrong. I've even heard people say, you know, you can't build a business on add-ons, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, if you're building a business on a WordPress plugin, basically that is an add-on for WordPress, another platform. So I would say the biggest challenge is, of course, you know, thinking about the longevity of your business, you know, what happens when or if this platform goes away. But I say that what I really appreciate about Gravity Forms is the fact that it is very easily extensible. And I've worked with a lot of other platforms. You know, I've tried to branch out and do other things, and I've always come back to Gravity Forms, and that's because of the maturity of the platform and also just being able to, I would say, develop that dialogue. I've visited with the Rocket Genius team now at their office twice now. So that's been a big help. You know, we've sort of grown, I would say. The community has grown over time. And so when it first started out, it wasn't that great. But, you know, now there is more of an open dialogue. So, you know, we have our Slack room that we have going on. And, you know, I have access to the developers. And so it's been a slow process. It has been a little difficult sometimes. But I would say we're growing. And it's getting better. And
there's a lot that I want to unpack there. when you say community, you don't mean the WordPress community. You mean the community behind your products and the, maybe the community also using Gravity Forms, correct?
Correct. Yeah, the Gravity Forms community.
Which is, again, a sort of testament to you sticking around and continuing to develop with this is, I mean, it's the way it needs to be done. So many people think that, you know, it's just, hey, I'm going to make this add-on. And of course you should, you know, of course, when I tell you, you know, Gravity Forms or any other company, even WordPress, like, hey, look, I built this plugin, you know, let me in, or, you know, give me this kind of access, or,
oh yeah,
let's do business together, that kind of thing. This is, it's not easy, right? It's not easy in the beginning, but so many people think that by doing it, that it's almost the same concept of finding customers. If you build it, they will come. A lot of folks think that they'll just sort of latch on to a bigger brand and all of a sudden get exposure, where, when in fact it's the same, it's business to business, right? It's that same kind of biz dev that you have to do with a platform or another brand that you're going to have to do with a customer. So it's a real testament to you to stick around and continue to work at it and recognize the time that it takes to do it. This episode of The Matt Report is brought to you by the team at Valet. Valet helps brands unleash their potential with real-time metrics, intelligent recommendations, and that age-old method of having an awesome team to back it all up. See, my friends at Valet are up to something really, really cool. But first, let me ask you this question. Every time you build a website for a client, don't you feel like you're making the web a better place? Well, here's the thing. Valet's got something in the works that will let you back that claim up. It's called Valet Metrics, and you can get your free website snapshot over at valetmetrics.com. It's an amazing tool. You get in-depth analysis of a website covering security, speed, usability, traffic, conversions, all wrapped up in this beautiful reporting dashboard that provides action, not fluff. You and Valet, making WordPress and the web a better place. Get your snapshot at valetmetrics.com.
Absolutely. You know, I would say don't expect anything from from anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do an add-on for a larger company, yeah, no, don't expect that. They have their own priorities, their own things that they're working on. And so if you decide that you want to build an add-on, you know, and that you want to sell it, then you need to be prepared to, you know, to support that yourself.
Right, right. So how do you, so now, you know, kind of circling back to the plugins and again, looking at the page, and I do want to get into the community in a moment, but looking at the add-ons, you have, again, you start with Gravity Forms Stripe, and now, you know, I'll just rattle a few off. You have Gravity Forms Utility, Forms Dynamic Population Pro, Analytics, Post a Third Party, Podio add-on, Limit Date Range, Salesforce, Infusionsoft, Marketo, and Modic, which I've, is it Modic or Matic? I've never heard of that one.
Modic.
Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, pick and choose which ones you want to create? Does that go back to having that community and you sort of dip into the wealth of knowledge from the community and they give you feedback and say, hey, go ahead and build this for Marketo or Infusionsoft or whatever? How do you come up with the ideas to create another add-on?
You know, most of my ideas come from customers. You know, just talking to customers and, you know, seeing some of the pains that they're experiencing. Several of those, like the utility plugin, came from my own pain. You know, after you've been working with Gravity Forms for a while, you know, you're like, okay, what page is this Gravity Form? Is this form on again? And especially when you're logging into someone else's site, yeah, and they have all these forms and you're trying to test one form and you're like, okay, and they have 200 pages. I mean, that's ridiculous. Trying to go through each page and see what form it's on. I'm sorry. Go through each, each page and see which form is on it. So I would say, you know, some of it from my own pain, and because I am a Gravity Forms user, and a lot of it just from customers, you know, customers contacting me saying, hey, Naomi, I would love to have this. You know, I would love to have Gravity Forms do this.
Yeah. That's great stuff. It's one of those things that I'm guilty about not doing. And I'm sure there's a ton of other people in the audience that are guilty of it too. We don't really poll our customers enough, right? We never really, ask them or really take the time to grab the feedback from, hey, what other areas mm-hmm. are you sort of, you know, suffering in with Gravity Forms or with anything? Because WordPress is huge. There's so many pain points. You could get some data from or feedback from other pain points that might translate into another Gravity Forms product, even if it's not purely related to Gravity Forms. You mentioned before that you tried to branch out a little bit. Did you try to branch out with other plugin forms? Because when I look at your business, I say, well, that's the natural progression right there, right? To scale the businesses, mm-hmm. go and, you know, build these same solutions or make these add-ons available for Ninja Forms, Formidable, Easy Contact Forms, Jetpack Contact Forms, whatever. It sounded like you tried doing that, but hit a little bit of a turbulence. Can you share your side of the story?
You know, there is the product, there's the interface that people see, and then there's the product behind the product. And that's the interface where the developers work. And as I started working with those other platforms, you know, as a developer, which is much different than a user, you know, I just realized that I enjoyed Gravity Forms more. And specifically, I enjoyed the maturity of the platform. So.
Do you also think about how it could be challenging with marketing or support? And coupled with that question, how do you do marketing and support now? Are you a one-woman shop and you just do it all yourself? Do you sort of outsource to some support help? And how does that all boil up?
You know, I have thought about, I am a one-woman shop. I have thought about outsourcing support, and I quickly realized that no, I can't afford to outsource support, really, because that is, that's what's most important to me, is talking to customers. Mm. So I realized I would actually rather outsource the development behind the scenes than outsource, you know, the thing that's most important to me. Because that's what that gives me life, that gives me encouragement, that helps me to see how people are using my products. You know, sometimes I'll jump on a call, jump on a Google Hangout screen share with a customer and just observe and just watch. So that's very important to me.
That's an amazing answer, because so many people talk about processes, creating systems, scaling their business. And from most people that I talk to, they say, I don't want to do support anymore, right? It's taking up too much of my time. But a critical part of the business is that feedback. And secondary to that for you, it gives you that inspiration, right? To have those discussions and absorb the information and feedback to help you build a better business and a better product, which is, that's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to have that answer. Have you tried to outsource the development yet? Any success or failure stories there?
I have given a few projects to some people. No one that I've said, okay, you know, I'm going to hire you full time.
But nobody from Fiverr living the 4-hour work week dream.
No.
Oh man. One of the things that I would find, or, you know, as somebody who sells plugins and themes as well, you take a very hands-on and personable approach to supporting these products. How do you bridge the gap when maybe, say, you get on the phone with somebody or a screen share and they say, you know what, Naomi, can you just finish building my website for me? Or can you, you know, you might not have the feature. Can you develop it for me? Can you take it the last mile and finish this for me? Do you have something that bridges the gap between product and service?
I do actually. Once people purchase, they have the opportunity, and this came again from customer requests. I'll never forget my first request where someone was like, hey, can I just pay you for like an hour of your time so that you can tell me how to set this up properly, because I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, other people saying, hey, you know, can you add this feature? Can you do this customization? And so, you know, I went ahead and productized that. And so now when you purchase, you have the opportunity afterwards to, hey, we'll do it for you. So we have a done for you package. You know, we'll set the plugin up for you, create your form, test it, make sure everything is working properly, send you a report afterwards of everything that we've done, some things that you should do next. And then we have a plugin customization service. So, and that's, you know, at a discounted rate for current customers. So a lot of times what we get is, at least with the Stripe plugin, is we get people who they have a subscription, but they need to manually every month go. And if it's, let's say some kind of service where the month's charges need to be calculated and then added to the invoice. And so that's something popular that we'll do. We'll go in, they'll tell us what they need, and we'll go into their database and, you know, get the information and calculate it and add it to the invoice. And so yeah, we do have services now.
And is that, when did that roll out, and are you finding success with the done for you service? I mean, are you able to still be profitable and work it in the pipeline? Because I find like those are always the obvious two challenges, which I think a lot of us don't think of right out of the gate, is one, let's say I just a round number, let's say it's $100. Mm-hmm. You know, can you do that in, you know, less than an hour to make up for the development time that you put into building the products? And two, can you actually, like, that might sound great. Say, wow, I can charge this $100 and I can be, you know, 70% profitable. But what they don't realize is they can't do enough of that in a given month, let's say, because you are doing support and you are building products. So one, mm-hmm. are you satisfied with what you have going on now? And are you satisfied with the price point, with the customer feedback?
Yeah, price point, yes. Definitely satisfied with, you know, it is profitable. And like I said, just from having those additional customer interactions, you learn so much. And, you know, sometimes it does turn into longer engagements where customers keep coming back saying, hey, you did this for me. Can you do this for me now? So again, you know, anyway, for me, just getting to talk to a customer and see what they're doing and see how they're using Gravity Forms is so important to me, because, you know, building products, and that's actually why I added the services component, because building products, you can get so narrow and you can get so focused on just that product that you miss how people are using it, you know, in the larger scope. And so it's very important to me. I love collecting Gravity Form stories and just seeing what people are doing and how they're using it, because it gives you, you know, really important insight, even when you're building your product, that you understand the domain that you're working in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's amazing, because it's one of the things that I've always said is, you know, we're a plugin shop and a theme shop and a service shop. And sometimes the balance of all that stuff is extremely difficult.
It is.
but finding, you know, where else are you going to get those insights, right? So like, just like you said, so beautifully, is if you step away from the service side, how are you going to know the real struggles that folks are having, not just using Gravity Forms, but with WordPress and software in general, and God, with so many third party services that you support. I mean, that's a whole other ball of fiery support issues. You know, like Infusionsoft isn't working. Oh God, call Infusionsoft. question about the Stripe plugin. How do you balance what's the advantage to using your Stripe add-on versus the Gravity Forms Stripe add-on?
That's a good question. So I always like to tell people, this is the original Stripe add-on.
Yes.
It's been around for about 5 years. Yep. I think Gravity Forms decided to release theirs, I think it was last year or the year before, I'm not sure. Use what works best for you. You know, when people come to me and ask me, because I do get that question more than I care to, you know, I just explain to them what's available and then say, you know, use what works best for you.
Sure. So. Plus, if there are, you know, one of the things I like to lean on in, you know, a scenario where, you know, I'll use Pippin Williamson, for example. He gets brought up a lot because he has a very large ecosystem of plugins, right? Some plugins will, other plugin providers, you know, create stuff that might be better than his, and vice versa. But when you're buying from him, let's say you're using Easy Digital Downloads and you want to move over to sort of a membership site and you, let's say, go with Restrict Content Pro, it might not have all the features other membership plugins have right now, but you can sort of rely on, look, I know it's from the team that I trust, and they're putting out other add-ons and or plugins that I'm using. If a customer's coming to you and they say, hey, I want to buy your Stripe plugin, I heard that Gravity Forms has their own in it, why should I buy yours? You know, and if you say, well, I, you know, you're also using, again, I'll just Infusionsoft. Well, it makes sense to, you know, get that support from a developer and be in their ecosystem, because the support stuff is what really comes down to, down to the value, right, for these customers. Because I'm sure 9 times out of 10, you're teaching them how to do something in a support fashion, not, you know, it's never like about the, oh, thanks, you allowed me to accept a Stripe transaction and I made $100. but they're saying thanks, like you pointed out something I didn't even know about WordPress, let alone Gravity Forms.
Sure, and I think, you know, I like to tell people, you know, focus is really important. And so, you know, I'm not trying to build a huge Forms plugin and keep that maintained and, you know, have these, have a little collection of add-ons around it. So, you know, add-ons on my business. That's what I do. So,
it's an amazing approach, and it's an amazing answer. What do you do for marketing? How do you get your name out there? How do you get your products found in the WordPress ecosystem?
Let's see. I think people find me from WordPress.org. Of course. And then from there, it's word of mouth and recommendations. And so what I try to do is, you know, once someone sees, you know, one product of mine, you know, I try to make sure that they see other products. I try to get out there and help people. You know, I'm in several Slack rooms where I try to help out, you know, and it's not for the purpose of saying, hey, come buy my products, because I have free products. You know, products that will be free forever that I think are really helpful. Like the Gravity Forms utility is probably one of my favorite plugins.
I'm going to go install that immediately as soon as this as soon as this interview is over. I'm telling my team that this is required across the board.
You know, and it's something that I do. You know, every site that I log into, I install the utility plugin because I no longer now have to search for forms on pages. But yeah, so. You know, and then just try to provide really, really great service, which, you know, it sounds simple, but it's really hard, especially when you're by yourself, you know, so when you're the only person, and I mean, you come across all types of people, throughout the days, they're in all types of attitudes and moods, and, you know, you just try to maintain a level of level-headedness and stability, and just do the best that you can. Is it always going to be good enough? No. You know, some people you just can't make happy, and that's okay. You have to be okay with that. But yeah, so that's kind of the key. You know, it's nothing, you know, I'm not doing Facebook ads and remarketing and all that kind of stuff. So I just try to keep it simple for now.
And that's a perfect segue, because that was my next question was, you know, so many community groups and other groups are being built on sort of Facebook groups. And then there's the whole, you know, get them into Facebook groups and, you know, capture the Facebook pixel. Like, see, even I don't do it very well, so I don't even know the terminology, but you know, it's all this stuff of, you know, being on Facebook, driving the community, and then sort of upselling and that kind of thing. But your community is driven on Slack. How has that been for the business? Was that the particular strategy? It was like, hey, I'm in Slack because I'm in, you know, I'm developing stuff. I'm talking to other developers, so I'm in Slack. So naturally, the community will be there. Do you get involved with other Facebook groups? Do you just say, like, I don't want to start a Facebook group for this kind of thing?
Yeah, so Facebook, I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, well, that answers that.
you know, I had to create an account because there was something that I purchased and they had a Facebook group, and I just begged them for a Slack, just because I don't do Facebook. So yeah, you probably won't find me doing a Facebook group. And also because I'm opposed to keeping all of your community knowledge on a platform that you don't own.
Sure.
And so Slack is sort of a necessary evil for me at this point. But I do have plans to move away from Slack. I do realize that you just can't beat, you know, kind of the real time nature of the platform. Mm. But I do intend to move it to something that, again, is not someone else's platform. I don't see the value in keeping your knowledge closed away, where, you know, at any moment the platform could go away and then that's it.
Mm. Yeah, I have one of my favorite posts that I wrote starts with the letter F, ends with the word platforms. And I totally agree. And I think it's one of those necessary evils, like you mentioned, because the attention is, it's that attention that's on, again, Facebook groups. It's something that I've been eyeing a lot of for the Matt Report, because again, in that email that I sent out this weekend, I tried doing a pro membership for Matt Report many years ago, and it failed miserably. I shouldn't say miserably, but it certainly wasn't the success of, let's say, a post status, which is heavily, heavily vested on Slack, right? For that community. But finding something where you can leverage ease of use. So again, just staging that, I used BB Press and Paid Memberships Pro to do all that stuff. And it was just a nightmare, right? It was just a nightmare. Nobody ever, that was the biggest challenge. Nobody ever logged in, keeping the attention in a WordPress site to log in and have people share their knowledge is very difficult when there's only so many minutes in the day and most of them are spent, hacking around on Facebook when there's some downtime. So I'm just fascinated by building communities and where to build communities nowadays. Maybe using them to drive traffic back to your website. That's a whole other conversation, I guess. But now, do you do any other marketing initiatives like blogging, content marketing, email marketing, or is it all strictly driven through the support that you provide on forums and in the Slack community?
I would say that's it. I don't do anything else. So
that's great. I mean, it works, right? It's working.
It is working.
Yeah, it's working. And that's an amazing answer. So many people are just caught up in chasing the next thing, which is, good and bad. It's always great to sort of test things out, but don't forget about the things that got you to where you are today, that kind of thing. What's next for the business? Any new add-ons? Any small pivots in a new direction that you're excited about?
I would say probably the thing that I'm most excited about now is the community aspect. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's not really for the business. I'm not making any money from that. But just kind of bringing people back together. Because the thing that I miss the most is the Gravity Forms forums. Those were great. And I just loved the opportunity to be able to talk to other users and see what other people are doing. And so that's going to be a big focus for me going forward, is just trying to be a part of the community, bring it together, and just help out. So.
And what about in-person community events, WordCamps, other events? We mentioned Pressnomics before. Are you going to do WordCamp US or planning on doing any other in-person events?
I always do my local WordCamp, try to make sure that I always do that. Now, I would say, last year, the year before, like I said, I have a toddler. So I was doing a lot of traveling, and that was really difficult. Mm. That was really difficult, and so I kind of scaled back. But I do want to speak or even just attend more WordCamps, because I love WordCamps. I love the whole just atmosphere and environment and getting people together of all usage levels. And, it's just always a great time.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, I mean, again, for the dollar, right? For the dollar, $40. I mean, you really can't go wrong to get everybody in the space. I think a couple of years ago we all expected there'd be more and more events popping up, and there are. I mean, we have LoopConf, yeah. We have Pressnomics. I haven't heard about Prestige in a while. I don't know what's going on with that, mm-hmm. but I hope that there's more. I hope that there's more gatherings of like-minded WordPress folks, because it's always great to sort of break the mold of a traditional WordCamp, right? Because I don't know about you, but most of the time I end up going and just sort of talking to everybody in the hallway.
Which is cool.
Yeah, which is definitely cool. And there's probably tons of talks that I can learn from that I just never get to. But that is one thing I do like about Pressnomics, is the fact that it's just hyper-focused. You go into the room, you see the one or two presenters back to back, and then you go for a little break and then go back at it again. And then there's lunch and there's some community building aspects around that. Mm-hmm. So definitely recommend that event.
I would say probably for me personally, I've found myself moving away from WordPress events, mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I've realized more and more, the more people that I talk to, WordPress is just a tool. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes the community can be kind of insular, where we're only looking inward. We only look at ourselves. We only look at what we're doing. And that's how you kind of get caught up in the doing it right, doing it wrong kind of arguments. And so I've been kind of looking outward, just to the broader business community. And so I've been doing some of those events, you know, just to see, you know, what people are doing outside of WordPress, how they're using WordPress, their attitudes towards WordPress. So I think that's also been a big help to me in my business. Sort of not taking it too seriously.
Sure.
Because you realize it's just a tool. That's all it is.
Sure.
You know, so you can let everyone else have their PHP sucks arguments and WordPress sucks and, you know, all of that, but it's just a tool and people are using it to accomplish some really good things. So
if there is a developer listening to this right now, or even a non-developer, and they want to build a product, be it an add-on for another plugin or a plugin for WordPress or anything really, maybe an ebook or something, a membership course, do you have any advice for that person who's just starting out and what they should and how they should approach launching their product?
Focus on your customer. Focus on the value that you're going to provide. Like, don't get caught up in, oh, my product is going to have this feature and that feature. It means nothing if nobody uses it. So focus on the pain that you're solving. You know, what is it that people are trying to do, and solve that pain, not on you building a very nice castle that nobody is going to ever visit.
I love that. Naomi, this has been an amazing episode. Where can folks find you to say thanks?
GravityPlus.pro. That's where I am.
It's awesome stuff. You're also post status, correct?
Yes, I am on the post status Slack, but please, Slack is, I'm in so many rooms, and like sometimes I get notifications, sometimes I don't, and so I miss things. And so sure. Email is really the best way to reach me if you want to be sure that I've gotten something. Twitter, I get notifications sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I don't know what I've done. And I've just given up trying to figure it out. So
that's great. Again, thanks for doing this episode. It's been an amazing discussion to learn sort of how you started and how you've grown this. But your particular point of view in how to grow a business doesn't always have to be what everybody else is doing. So it's definitely refreshing to hear all that stuff. Everyone else is mattreport.com/subscribe. Join the mailing list, where one day I will send you another email. In fact, I just did on Sunday, right? So I'm glad that everyone who reached out to say thanks about that for that email, it was definitely one of those moments where you sort of put your heart out on your sleeve and let everybody sort of digest it as they see fit. MattReport.com/subscribe. And if you enjoy this is season 4, if you're enjoying it, if you're getting some knowledge out of the Matt Report and love a 5-star review, over on iTunes. Just search for WordPress Podcast or Matt Medeiros, and I will pop up. And yeah, I'd really love a 5-star review. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Hey everyone, did you enjoy this episode? Head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps. I say it all the time, but it definitely, definitely does. Always reach out to our guests and say thanks. We always link them up at the end of the show to share their Twitter account or wherever they can be found online. So make sure you go ahead and do that. They spend a lot of time with us. And thank our sponsors, Pagely and Valet, for keeping the Matt Report going until the end of the year. If you're interested in sponsoring the Matt Report, you can get a hold of me. It's mattreportblog@gmail.com or just mattreport.com/contact. Reach out. We are looking for sponsorships going into 2017. Again, if you want to sponsor one of the premier WordPress podcasts out there, go ahead and reach out, mattreport.com/contact.